We'd like to say good morning to everybody, and again, we want to say welcome to our live broadcast, the Nazarene Baptist Church, where we are connecting people to Christ, to church, to their calling, and to our community. And we're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. And it is our prayer that you are blessed by the Word of God, that you're blessed by our worship through song today. We want to start with this song that says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to be your dwelling place. And so we pray that you will worship with us as we sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Come on, Resty.
Amen. As you listen to the words of this song, I ask that you worship with us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is also liberty, there is freedom. So as Hallelujah. We prepare ourselves to be sanctuaries, invite Him in with you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Tried and true, and with thanksgiving,
yeah.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Help me say,
Lord, prepare
me, sanctuary,
be a sanctuary,
pure
and holy,
tried and true,
and with thanksgiving,
Sanctuary, for you. Say it again. Say, Lord,
prepare
to be a sanctuary.
To be a sanctuary,
pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving,
I'll be a living
sanctuary, for you.
Sanctuary,
pure and holy,
tried and true,
with thanksgiving,
I'll be a living
sanctuary for you. Everybody say yes. Say, mold me. What you want me to do? Say, mold me. Where you want me to go? Say, mold me. What you want me to do? Say, mold me. How you want me to be? Say, mold me. How you want me to do? Say, mold. Where you want me to go?
Where you want me to go?
And say, mold me.
Mold me.
What you want me to do?
What you want me to do?
And say,
no God like Jehovah. There's 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 no God like Jehovah.
No matter where you go.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Can't find nobody.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Nobody.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Come on, everybody, sing it with us.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's
come on, sing it like you really believe it. There's no God.
There's no God like Jehovah.
No God,
no
one.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Do you believe it?
There's no God like Jehovah.
Do you believe it today?
There's no God like Jehovah.
There's no God like
Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
No way.
There's no God like Jehovah.
No way.
There's no God like Jehovah.
No God like
Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Power and strength is His.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Like our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, church family. This is another day that the Lord has made. I will choose to rejoice and be glad
Hallelujah.
In it. Our responsive reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 40. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers of his word. Lord, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I ask that you bow your heads with us and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for bringing us here safely to be able to worship you, even though it's not the way that we know how, but we know that the church has not closed. Other churches have opened in different houses all around the world. We are called to be the church, not just go to it. And we thank you for this opportunity because of technology and how it is advanced. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to hear a word from our pastor, I ask that you bless him.
I ask that you be with him, and I ask that you be with the congregation and all the hearers. Let us not have a deaf ear, but let us take something with us to go throughout the week. Lord, we know the cares of life will come, but you do not give us more than we can bear. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
There are some days you feel like saying, I feel the Lord will make a way. Satan will want you to say, I think the Lord will make a way. Satan will have you to believe the Lord might make a way, but that ain't what Aunt Sarabelle said. Aunt Sarabelle said, I know. She said, I know the Lord will make a way. And then she finished the sentence with, yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Amen. Here we go. I know the Lord will make a way. Yes, he will. I know the Lord will make a way.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. He will make Daphne a way for you.
Oh, yeah.
He will safely, he's gonna see you through. I know the Lord, he'll make a way. Yes, he will. Bessie Dale, let me tell you, I know the Lord, he's gonna make a way. Yes, he will. Oh, I know the Lord, he will. Yes, he will. A Savior who I can tell
all of my troubles
to, and when it seems like
He will. Yes, he will.
Yeah, yes, he When I'm down to my last bit dime, oh my God, won't it step in on time? I know the Lord. Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Hey, yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
I know, I know, I know he will.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
I'm here today because the Lord.
I know the Lord. If you can, yes.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
Hey, get you one of them memes. My. Praise the Lord. Y'all need to, I want y'all to express appreciation to our team, to our technicians, and to the band, to the servants who come and just help us have a chance to present to you. And y'all ought to just type in there and remember them in prayer, because we want to appreciate the things they do, the people you'll never see that are behind the scenes that help us present to you. There are folk all over the country that are getting a chance to worship with us, and for that we are so grateful. Our text today, thank God for Iresi, who read it so well. I'll anchor at Luke chapter 2, 39th and 34th verse. It said that when Joseph and Mary had done everything that the law required of them, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child, they're talking about baby Jesus, he grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Amen. In 2008, the real Forrest Whitaker, one of the many movies that he starred in, there was a movie called Vantage Point. And in that particular movie, when you watch the movie, it's one of the movies you have to be careful, because if you watch that movie and you're sleepy it'll mix you up. Because in that movie, it tells a story, but it's a reenactment from different perspectives to reveal the truth. In other words, there's about five characters in the movie, and there's an event that takes place, and the event is seen through the eyes of one character, and then they rewind and they show the event through the eyes of another character, and then they rewind and they show the event through the eyes of another character. And when you see all the events through the eyes of all the characters, you then see the whole truth. The whole truth. What God is doing in this age, at this time, cannot be explained through the eyes of just one person. You can't explain it through the eyes of just one person. And so you have the vantage point from your viewpoint, but you don't have the vantage point from somebody else's viewpoint. And beloved, you got to be careful about thinking you know everything, because you can only see from your viewpoint. And since you ain't God, you can't see everything, and therefore you don't know everything. But there will come a point where God sits us all down and he will reveal to all of us what it is he is doing. In the meantime, make sure you don't miss what he wants you to see from your vantage point. I want to talk about, this is going to be a series, but this vantage point series, it's going to be a series. And I wanted to pick up with Joseph and Mary, because one of the things that I love about Joseph and Mary is that, Mario, Joseph and Mary were individuals that consistently responded to the voice of God. I like how Joseph responded to the voice of God. He responded to the voice of God by picking Mary. He responded to the voice of God, to the heart of God, by, even though he didn't really understand what was going on, at least he wasn't going to put her on Jerry Springer. And then when the angel said he was about to blow it, he responded to the voice of God and picked her again. And even though it wasn't the most convenient time to take a trip, he still knew that he had obligations under the law. And we responded to the voice of God and did the best he could to make the trip as easy as he could, to make his way to Bethlehem to register himself and his wife. He responded to the voice of God because even though there wasn't no room in the inn, he did the best he could. And they found a stable, and wasn't the best, but it's still a part of their story. And there, even in the stable, God let him know that he was on the right track, because God sent shepherds to assure him that he had done the right thing, and he stepped up and he let it be known that this child was going to be named Jesus. He responded to the voice of God by taking off and going to Egypt and then coming back when it was the appropriate time. He responded to the voice of God when the enemy had been killed, and by choice, he chose Nazareth. He chose Nazareth, not by default, but by choice, he chose Nazareth to be the place where he would raise this child and him and his family would live. The Bible helps us to understand that it's all part of God's plan that Jesus would be called the Nazarene. And then when you read through the New Testament, you see over and over how many times there's a reference to Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Nazarene. People who followed him were the Nazarenes. You see so many times there's a reference to him as the Nazarite. But then you have to also understand that Nazareth was not a famous place. It was not any place that anybody would really celebrate. It's kind of a podunk, obscure place. Nazareth. Nazareth. So much so that when Nathanael was telling his brother about we found Jesus from Nazareth, his response, Thomas said, "You got to be kidding me. If God was going to pick and send us a Savior, surely he wouldn't have picked Nazareth." His response was, "Can any good thing come out of not Nazareth, Jerusalem, but not Nazareth?" Not Nazareth. Because the word Nazareth comes from the word netzer. Nazareth means shoot. Let me see if I can explain it. What Nazareth, this little town on the edge of the mountainside, this little town, Netzer, it means shoot. A shoot is what happens when you cut off a tree. When you cut off a tree and the log has been taken, if you leave the stump, a shoot will grow from the stump. And when you look at the shoot, you see the shoot and you say, "Well, that ain't good for nothing. There's nothing good that can come from the shoot. The real benefit is already gone. The log is gone. All that's left is the shoot." The Nazareth was the shoot. And they felt nothing good could come from the shoot. Can anything good come from the shoot? But yet that is where God allowed Joseph and Mary to have a vantage point to raise their family. It's where they raised their family. Luke and Matthew gives us a little more detail about Egypt and then back and then Nazareth. Luke says, well, after they left the temple and did everything they were supposed to do, then they went back to their hometown, Nazareth. And then the next thing you hear is Jesus then goes to the temple at age 12, and then the next thing, he's in the wilderness. And so from the time that he leaves, he comes to Nazareth as a toddler to the time he starts ministry, theologians call those the silent years. They're the silent years but because Jesus is not speaking much. Well, he's two. He's not speaking much. They call it the silent years. He's growing up. He's a child growing up. He's not speaking. He's not speaking much. But there's some things going on. I want to share with you that in our text, in that 40th verse, there's some wonderful things going on, because as the Lord, as God has ordained for him to be in Nazareth, he is building a story. The story is being built, and Nazareth is a part of it. I want to share with you that it is important for you to recognize that the season that we're in right now, could it be that this is all a part of your story? I want to suggest that this storm will pass over. I want to suggest to you that we will look back on this, and there will be studies made about where were you when it started, what did you do in the midst of it, and when it was all said and done, how did it affect you? People are going to look at the pandemic. They're going to look at their circumstance before. They're going to look at their situation after. People are going to study the economy. They're going to study the school. They're going to study the family. Everybody's going to study this thing and are going to begin to tell a story. I want to help you to understand and to recognize your story as we live through something that God has ordained that we have never experienced before. Recognize your story, and as you recognize your story, let me bring to your attention that here we have Jesus is a person, but he's in Nazareth. He's a person in Nazareth. What is he doing in Nazareth? It tells us in verse number 40. The text says, the child, he's growing. It's a natural thing to do. He's growing physically. Where does that happen? In Nazareth. He's growing spiritually. Where does that happen? In Nazareth. Could God have done that someplace else? He could have, but he didn't. He decided to let that happen. Where? It happened in Nazareth. It could have been anywhere, but he chose to let him grow up. Where? In Nazareth. The text says he became strong, because you can grow and still not be strong. Where did he become strong? He became strong, you got it, in Nazareth. You can become big, you can be big, but not be strong, and you can be strong, but not be big. I'll get back to that in a minute. But where did it all happen? It happened in Nazareth. He was filled with wisdom. He understood how to relate to people. One of the interesting things about Nazareth was a very diverse area. It was a place with all kinds of people. He learned how to interact with all kinds of people. Somebody said that Nazareth was the Gentile. It was a whole lot of Gentiles around there. And so Jesus didn't just grow up just around Jews. He learned how to deal with people that were different from himself. He learned how to interact with people that were different from himself. Where did it happen? I already told you. It happened in Nazareth. He grew up where? In Nazareth. He became strong where? In Nazareth. He was filled with wisdom where? In Nazareth. And the text says, and the grace of God was on him. Where did that happen? All of that happened in Nazareth. Now, here's what's interesting. Most of us, we talk about him when he's in Capernaum. We talk about him when he's in Jerusalem. We talk about him when he's healing the sick, every place else, when he's walking on the Sea of Galilee. But none of that stuff wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for his foundation. Where did the foundation take place? I'm trying to help you. It happened in Nazareth. It happened in Nazareth. See, so there's some folk thinking you've got to leave Nazareth in order to get strong. There's a brother beloved I love him. There's a brother beloved by the name of Tony. And when I first met Tony and we got acquainted, Tony, when I asked him what he did, he said, well, He said, I do a couple of things, but mainly what I do is I oversee coal processing plants. Tony, he's one of our trustees, and Tony, he's about this tall. He's got a real deep voice and all of that. And I said, well, man, I'd sure like to see what you do sometime. He said, well, hey, you can go to work with me sometime. And so one time, Tony took me to work with him. He was overseeing a processing plant. One of the processing plants that he was overseeing was over in Illinois. And so I went to work with him one day. And so the coal came up from underneath the earth. But then the processing plant, it goes up into a real tall building. And then the coal is crushed, broken from the other rock. And then it's sorted and it's washed. And then when it's all said and done, it seems like it's about 15, 20 floors high. It's way up in the sky. And he wanted me to see where it goes all the way to the top. And he took me in that building. And this was about 20 years ago. And we went up and he was running up these stairs and thank God for two handrails. And I was pulling best I could. And when we finally got to the top, I said to myself, if we go up one more flight of stairs, we probably be at the bottom of heaven. Because we were way up there. You'll catch that in a minute. And I was so glad we reached the top, because I knew going down was going to be a whole lot easier than it was going up. But he's a small frame fella. But I told you, you don't have to be big to be strong. Now, you're going to see this in a minute, but this same fella, you're going to see it on the screen, on the B-roll. This is the same fella. He was so excited on his wedding day that he on a flagpole, he went to the flagpole, and it took me a minute to understand it, but he's standing. I thought he was standing by the flagpole, but the picture was horizontal. In essence, what he was doing, he had put both of his arms on the flagpole, and he was extended his entire body horizontal. Now that's strength. Y'all will see it on the picture, because what I'm trying to show you is that you can be big, but not necessarily strong. And you can be strong, but not necessarily big. Now, I need to tell you that Jesus was strong, but he wasn't necessarily big, but he was strong enough to take some stuff. Because you and I, here's what's going to happen in this life. When you start advancing the kingdom of God, you're going to get hit. When you advance the kingdom of God, you're going to have to be strong enough to take some hits and to endure some things. That's part of the story. That's part of the story. Part of the story is that when you advance the kingdom, when you do what God tells you to do, not everybody is going to appreciate you doing what God is telling you to do. Because in this world, in this life, for some people to be up, there's some other folk that have to be down. But it's God's desire that those who are strong should help those who are weak. And so the next thing that you see Jesus doing, the minute he comes and leaves Nazareth, you see him, the next thing you see him doing, he goes to the wilderness to be tested. And right after he comes out of the wilderness to be tested, he engages in ministry to help the poor, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to set at liberty those who have been bruised. I want to share with you the first thing that we see in the text. He is a person in Nazareth. In Nazareth, he's growing. In Nazareth, he's getting strong. In Nazareth, he's being filled with wisdom. In Nazareth, the grace of the Lord is upon him. It's a part of his story. I want to share with you, I want to encourage you to recognize that what we're going through, it's a part of your story. It's a part of your story. Pain, it's a part of the story. Setback, sometimes it's a part of your story. Disappointment, It's a part of your story, but it's not all the story. Thank God. It's just a chapter. The wonderful thing about God, isn't it interesting how God can make, can do some amazing, some interesting things in the worst of circumstances? I move forward. I want to encourage you to recognize it's a part of your story, but don't ever forget about your story, so write it down. When Jesus leaves Nazareth, now he's a person from Nazareth. He's a person from Nazareth. And every time you turn around, people will say, he's Jesus from Nazareth. Now, that could have been a couple of reasons for that. One of the reasons they said he's Jesus of Nazareth, because there was more than one person named Jesus. Another reference of Jesus is the name Joshua. And so there's more than one person named Jesus. And so they're making a distinction. This is Jesus of Nazareth. So they'll be able to distinguish the one from the other. Or it could be that they're dissing him. They're showing disrespect because they're saying, I don't know who you think you are. Because you really nobody. Because you just another nobody from Nazareth. You got to be careful. You got to be careful because God has an interesting way of doing great things, amazing things with people from a place that is really not recognized by anybody. God can take a nobody from a place that nobody knows anything about and make him somebody because our significance is never tied to where I'm from. I'm trying to preach with my foot on the gas and the brakes at the same time. I'm trying to preach with my foot on the gas and my brakes and the brakes at the same time because it's really not about where I'm from. It's not about where I'm from because I've got the grace of God on my life. People sometimes ask me, how did you do that? And I said, well, you don't understand. Here's what I know. The God I serve, sometimes there are things that God, he's just looking for a vessel that is willing to join him. See, sometimes you got to be careful about taking too much credit about what about what God uses you to accomplish. Can the scalpel really boast about the success of the surgery? I'll say it again. Can the scalpel really brag about the success of the surgery? Can the forceps really sit back and brag about the healing that it brought to the individual? No, all the scalpel was a vessel in the hand of the surgeon. All the forceps was, it was an instrument in the hand of the surgeon. And you and I have to come to the point where we realize that all we really are is a vessel, is an instrument in the hands of the Almighty God. That's why we celebrate. We're here because of his grace. We're on the team because of his grace. We get to participate because of his grace. So to God be the glory for everything that has been done. So it's not tied to where we're from. It's tied to who we're with. And the God we serve sometimes uses the most difficult of circumstances to bless and to show himself mighty. You look like you don't believe me. You remember that single mom with them two little boys and things were running low and the man of God came to her and she said, I ain't got nothing in the house except a little jar of oil. And she said, the man of God told her, tell you what you do. get your boys involved. Go tell them to borrow some jars, not a few. And you take what you have and start pouring into those vessels. And she did that, and the whole house was filled with jars of oil. And then when it was done, she sent back to the man of God and said, hey, whole house is filled with jars of oil. Now what? And he said, go sell the oil, pay your bills, and then live off the rest. It didn't happen until she was down to her last dime. I like how Marvelline said, her last then, what did she say, Junior? Her last red dime. She was down to her last red dime, but she had sense enough to turn to the man of God and ask him, what shall I do? I'm here to tell you that the God we serve, every now and then, he will allow circumstances, he'll allow pandemics to show up so that we might turn to him, and in the midst of dire situations, he can show up and do something so awesome, that we'll thank God for the circumstance that showed up in our life. Hey, you got to write this stuff down, because you'll forget. Some of y'all right now, you got more than you've ever had. You'll forget. You're eating better than you ever had. You'll forget. You were losing weight, but the pandemic hit, now everybody, all the weight. You'll forget. It was in the pandemic you got the house. In the pandemic you got the new apartment. In the pandemic you got the car. In the pandemic you got another job. In the pandemic you got the apartment. In the pandemic he gave you your job back. You will forget. In the pandemic he provided the scholarship. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. And then keep telling it. Keep telling the story. Keep telling your story until people get tired. Keep telling your story until people will see you coming and turn around. Oh, here they come again. All they want to talk about is the Lord. Uh-huh. Because that's all I know. Amen. The Lord. Keep telling it. Okay. I'm going to take my foot off the brake right now. Because I got to where I'm trying to go. I showed you Jesus was a person in Nazareth. Growing, becoming strong, being filled with wisdom, grace, all of that. It happened while he was a person in Nazareth. A person from Nazareth. Healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind. But there's something worse than all of that. And that is Nazareth in a person. In chapter 4, I told you in chapter 3, he went into the wilderness. Chapter 4, he started ministry. And in chapter 4, if I'm going to do ministry, the place I at least ought to stop by is home. And so Jesus stops by back home because it was in Nazareth where I grew. And I didn't grow by myself. It was in Nazareth where I became strong. And I didn't get strong by myself. It was in Nazareth where I was filled with wisdom. That didn't happen by myself. It was in Nazareth where I experienced the grace of God on my life. And so now that God has used me to come from Nazareth, that at least I ought to stop back by Nazareth to try to help and be a blessing to the people who helped me. Hey, let me tell something to somebody way out there. Don't ever forget the people who helped you become strong, who God used as instruments to help you get to where you are. Don't forget. And so Jesus came back to Nazareth. Now here's the deal. When he came back, because he wanted to be a blessing, but here's the problem. The problem is there were some folk who had Nazareth in them. You can be in Nazareth and from Nazareth, but when Nazareth gets in you, that's a bad thing. See, when Jesus showed up and began to share who he was and what God had called him to do, somebody looked at him and said, "That ain't nobody but Joseph's son." You missed it. All they saw was Joseph's boy. All they saw was the carpenter's kid. All they saw was what he used to be. They could not see him for what he was. They saw him for what he used to be. I'm trying to help somebody right now, and Jesus could not do many things because of their lack of faith. Nazareth is when shoot attitude gets in you, when small time faith gets in you, where you can't believe that God is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than you think or ask. That's a problem, because God can do anything but fail. God wants us to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. The Bible said he wanted to do some great stuff. He wanted to do some awesome things, but he could not because they would not believe. It wasn't that he couldn't bless them, but he wanted to, but they would not believe. And when small town attitudes get in you, then that's a problem. He was in Nazareth, growing, becoming great to be used as a vessel by God. He was from Nazareth, turning the world upside down. But yet there were still some people who had a small town mentality in them, where they just could not trust God for great things. My beloved, I want you to know that God can do anything. God can do anything. He can do anything but fail. And if you don't believe it, just look around. It's not where you start. You just make yourself available, and he'll use you as an instrument for his glory. So much so that when all was said and done, there Jesus was, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. He died for the sins of the world. And now everyone will know that he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. And even on the sign above his head, he said he's from Nazareth. He's the prophet. He's from Nazareth. He's our Savior and he's our Lord.
Yes.
And he's risen from the dead. And whoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to encourage you, recognize everything that we go through. It's a part of your story. You write it down and you keep telling it, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Oh no for sure, that sometimes God will move in the most adverse circumstances and situations to show himself awesome, to show himself mighty, and to reveal himself. They didn't have the benefit of video. They didn't have the benefit of iPhones. And so they had to tell their story. But we're going to look back. We're going to look back at what a story we're going to have to tell as we talk to our grandbabies and some who have yet to be born. And we'll tell the story of how God made a way, of how God strengthened us, of how we learned how to Zoom, and how we learned how to serve him even through technology. Ain't no telling where we'll be in days to come, but we'll still be serving him, we'll still be loving him, we'll still be giving God the glory. And somebody looking at me right now, you need to know that today is a great day. You can trust him as your Savior and become a part of the family of God. Hey, right now, wherever you are, God wants to give you an awesome advantage point as a member of the family of God. And you can become a member of the family of God today by believing that Jesus died for your sins, believing that God raised him from the dead. You can be adopted into the family of God. I welcome you today. That prayer can be yours. Just repeat after me. Gracious God, my Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I trust your Savior as my Savior. I invite him into my heart. Save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hey, welcome to the family of God. We'd love for you to tell us if you've prayed that prayer and want to connect with the church. We would love to connect with you and to help you take the next step and to grow as a member of the family of God. It has been such a joy to share with you today. It has been an awesome, awesome worship experience. We thank God for you. Hey, family, now it's time for the offering. We thank God for your faithfulness. You are able to give through PayPal, through Givelify. You have been very faithful, and so we're excited about what you have done, and we're excited about the improvements and things that we're doing as we prepare. We are really planning. We would love to. We're anticipating that the first Sunday in August is when we will open again. But we are watching closely. We are watching closely. As you can see, there are some spikes increasing in the city, and so we're watching diligently. We will let you know if that will still be the day. We have preparations for sanitation between services. There's some new flooring, there's painting that is going on. And so we're excited about those things. The preschool is planning on opening in August. And so we want to ask that you please stay in touch through our web page, and we'll keep you abreast. Our fall classes are online, and you'll see what days those will be starting as well. Several prayer requests I want to lift to you. Please remember the Cook family, Mother Pauline Cook. Her homegoing celebration will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Mason's. Of course, social distancing will be observed, but we will celebrate her homegoing tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And then I also want to ask that you please remember Brother Jonathan Parkhurst, please keep him in prayer, and Deacon John Bush as well. Amen. Any other prayer requests, John? James? Daphne? Oh, yes, yes. And please remember Sister Daphne Robinson as well. And so we want to remember her as well. She's not in the hospital, but we want to remember her as well. Hey, listen, it's been a great day. We thank God for you again, for all the team. God bless you. It's been a good day. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face smile upon you. May he give you peace in all things. May you recognize what it is he would have you to see as we walk through what he has called us to walk through. May God help you to grow. May God help you to become strong physically, spiritually. May God grant you wisdom so that you'll know how to respond according to his word and his will. May he fill you, and may his grace be upon you. Oh, and then as you move in his will, may you operate in a way that would please and honor him. And then my prayer for you is that you may be from Nazareth, you may be in Nazareth, but may Nazareth never be in you. Faithlessness, may that never be found in you. May you know that the Lord is moving on your behalf and that he is in control. To him who's able to keep us from falling, may he bless you, keep you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.